Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Okay, this is a special privilege this morning. I wonder if we could all stand up. Randy is going to share the word with us this morning. Woo! Come on up.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You can sit down. I'm not going to sing and dance, so that's a good thing. At least I don't think so. Just want to let you know that Tom is in Owensboro, Kentucky. There is a church down there that has reached out to Life Streams, which is the ministry group. Uh-oh, dropped all my notes. Oh, dear. Which is, Life Streams is the ministry group that we work with, and he is down there helping a church, and he misses you. And he said, and you ask him about it, you get up and preach, it'll be just like me. No, that's not true. But I am going to be continuing on with his series on family, and we're going to be talking again about dads and so many things that has already been said, starting in the prayer room, to some scriptures, to the songs. It's like it just paved the way. But I want to be talking about fathers. And of course, you know, as a believer, I look to Abraham. He's my father. It says in Romans 4 that he's the forefather. He's the father of our faith. And then as you read the Old Testament, frequently it lists Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And so you read that over and over and over. And he is the father of our faith. And so his faith was visible. His faith and his walk with God was visible. And so the title of my message today is Something Seen, Something Passed Down. Okay? So, you know, Abraham, he's the one who took his son Isaac up to sacrifice on the mountain. So just, you know, you picture that as you read it. I don't know if sometimes you think, oh my gosh, how could a father do that? But he had heard from God. But the key thing was, is he was still listening to God, and he heard the next word, which was, stop, don't kill him. I see that you're completely and utterly devoted to me. So his faith was visible in his actions, right? Which we were talking about in some of the things that Mark said. His faith was visible. And then you think of Isaac coming back down the mountain. He saw something. Yeah. I mean, he saw his father. He saw his father listen and hear from God and change a course of action. And so Isaac, you know, he goes on. He walks in faith. And then he passes it along to his kids and on and on and on. So there was something seen. Abraham exhibited something. And something was passed down. And then if you look in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I see, Timothy, that your faith is sincere. You know, you've got a good walk going, and I see that sincere faith that was first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. So Timothy saw something, and he was commended for it by Paul. He saw something again. Something was seen. And something was passed down. I think it's interesting that it doesn't mention Timothy's grandfather or his father. And there is mention of Timothy's father in Acts 16 that he was a Greek man. But that's really all that's said. So how wonderful that these two women impacted Timothy and all, you just look at all the fruit that he bore. And then this one really gets me. Think about Ruth and Naomi. So here Naomi leaves Bethlehem, leaves her home, takes her sons and her husband takes the family down to Moab, which, you know, the Israelites weren't supposed to have any interaction in Moab, but they went there because food was scarce. There was a famine in their hometown. And so they go down there and the husband dies and the sons dies. So there's these two women, Orpah and Ruth, who are left with Naomi. And Naomi says, you need to go back home to your family. You need to go back to your family. You'll find another man, get married, and have children. So Orpah does. She goes back to live with her family. But Ruth clings to Naomi, the Bible says. Clings to her. What was it in Naomi that made Ruth do that? What was seen in Naomi that made Ruth do that? You know, Naomi's faith must have been so evident. And Ruth even says, "Your God will be my God." How beautiful is that? So Ruth was risking never getting married again, never having children, possibly being very, very poor and not eating well, starving, because women back in those days, they needed a man to take care of them. They were at the mercy of the community, you know, widows and single women. And so here, and Ruth, she looks different, she talks different, she acts different, but yet she's going to go to a country where, or a town where she could be abused and misused. But there was something she saw in Naomi. Naomi's faith was evident. And so thinking about this, I was thinking about my own parents, and I have a picture. That's Rich and Tess Height. And my dad was born in 1919. My parents were married over 50 years, and they were great parents. They just were really good, really loving, good parents. And my dad's family owned pigs up in Delwood, right at the corner of Chambers and West Florissant. Maybe some of you know right where that is. They also had a fruit and vegetable stand there on West Florissant before the road was ever paved. So that area is very special to me. And my dad only had a high school education. He did go to a trade school, and he learned mechanical refrigeration or something like that, and he ended up working at Boeing, which used to be McDonnell Douglas. And he got me an interview in the steno pool, and that's how I began to work for McDonnell Douglas. I worked there for 5 years. He was there for 30 years. But my dad could fix anything. He was brilliant. They never called a repairman in. He could fix anything. Tom likes to say he could build a house of bricks out of toothpicks, and he probably could. He was just brilliant. And we grew up in North County, and my mom and dad's talent, you know how some families, they're raised playing soccer, or they have softball or baseball or whatever? We bowled. We all bowled. And my mom and dad traveled all over the city of St. Louis. I had to go too. And they just bowled in all these tournaments and traveling leagues and all this. And at one point, they were even approached to manage a bowling alley. Just imagine if they would have said yes. I would really be something else. But it turns out I'm a terrible bowler. Can't bowl. But there's something about bowling alleys. Almost every bowling alley has something that I excelled at. Pinball. Pinball. So I love playing pinball. I will play you for money, and I will win. I will win. I've only been beaten once recently by that man there, Dave Milster. But I love bowling alleys. There's something about the old bowling alleys. There's something about the smell, the stale beer, the oil on the lanes. I walk in, and it's like home to me. It's just, I literally do stop in the doorway, and I go, and it just, happy memories flood me. But I did. I had wonderful, loving parents, and they weren't believers. They weren't believers at all. I never saw them reading a Bible. They were just good, God-fearing people. And I grew up knowing that I was loved and I was safe, which is great. And my dad taught me three things. I can be anything I want to be. I grew up knowing there was no ceiling for me because I was a girl. I could do anything. And my parents would help me as much as they could to achieve the education level that I wanted. I also knew, my dad made me know, that I was the apple of his eye. I'm the baby of the family. I have a sister who's 16 years older and a brother who's 12. But my dad made me feel like I was the favorite. His words and his warmth and his attitude towards me always made me feel like I was loved and well cared for. And he used to take me to the park after he'd get home from work. You know, and how little kids do, you get on the swings or the slide. Daddy, 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 watch me, watch me, watch me. And he'd sit on the park bench and smoke his cigarettes and, you know, wave and laugh and stuff. I was convinced, absolutely convinced, that that was the highlight of his day. Absolutely. Later on, as I became a parent, I realized, oh no, My mother wanted me out of the house so she could cook dinner. But he made me feel so special, so loved. And the last thing he taught me was that I could always come to him in trouble. He was always there. He was a strong tower. He was my security and my safety. And my father's love helped me relate to our Heavenly Father when I became a Christian. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 17 years old, and it was never a problem for me to believe that God was good because of how my dad behaved. You know, he was a great dad. He wasn't perfect. You know, he had flaws, of course. Only Jesus was perfect, right? But even as an unbeliever, he showed me that God was good, and I understand, I just want you to know, I understand how blessed I am. You know, I know a lot of people don't have the same upbringing. Let's take a minute and look at Ephesians 5:1, which Lauren quoted. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And I love how the Amplified says it. It says, therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, as well-behaved, beloved children can imitate their father. So I remember when I was a kid, you know, I would imitate my heroes. Maybe you did the same. You know, maybe you would watch the Olympics, you know, and as a girl, I'd think I was, part of the gymnastics teams. And those of you who know me know there is not an athletic bone in my body. But I would practice in my bedroom, landing the dismount, you know, or flipping or doing whatever they did. Well, that never happened. But we have these heroes when we grow up, don't we? Maybe it was Ozzie Smith doing the backflips, the Wizard of Oz. He was our hero. He's a St. Louis hero, right? Or maybe, you know, you're a young man and you want to throw the football like Mahomes, and make sure you tell Tom I used a football illustration, okay? But, you know, you practice throwing that ball. And Mahomes is a legend, right? Or maybe you sing in the shower. Does anybody else sing in the shower? Perfect acoustics? Pretend you're Adele? Or Beyonce? You know, I pretend, I got the hand thing. You know, that she does. I know I don't have it down quite right. But, you know, for me, when I was a teenager, I just wanted to have hair like Farrah Fawcett. You know, that's what I wanted. Not that she was a hero. I just wanted her hair. So we imitate our heroes, don't we? And a lot of little kids imitate their moms and dads. But who are we supposed to imitate? We're supposed to imitate God, right? Yeah. So when the scripture says, let's imitate God, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Think about God and his attributes. And I think it's like this, that maybe we can live in grace. We can live in mercy. We can live forgiving people, seeking restoration when we can, and exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. We also have to deal with some of our stuff. You know what I mean by our stuff? You know, just those attitudes and behaviors that the Holy Spirit likes to put his finger on. Say, you know, we need to take care of that. We need to take care of this. And I think about, you know, what Abraham did with his family, and then what Timothy did, or his mother and grandmother did with his family, and then what Naomi did with Ruth. And I think, what did my dad pass on, and what can I pass on? Am I, like with my kids who are grown now, but did I make a smooth runway for them? Or did I create like a gravel path that had all kinds of rocks and obstacles in it? You know, we can make a smooth runway, just like my dad did for me. So what is seen in my life, and what am I passing down? And am I dealing with my stuff? Am I repenting? Do you notice that people don't talk about repenting, that word, so much anymore? Yeah. Is it not politically correct? Are we not allowed to say that anymore? But it's a great word. It's a Bible word. And it's simple. All it means is you stop what you're doing, and you turn around and go the other direction. You know, that's all it means. It's like a bus driver realizing he's going the wrong direction. He should be going north and he's going south. So what should he do? Get off the road, go across the overpass, and get on the road going the other way. It's a simple thing. And I think if we deal with our stuff, you know, anger, negativity, whining, complaining, maybe watching stuff we're not supposed to. And here's a big one I find I get challenged with. Am I going to God for comfort? Or am I going to a novel? Or am I going to the refrigerator? Or am I going to the wine glass? You know, we need to be going to God. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I am, you know, saying it to you all. So there's these things that we need to deal with so that our faith is evident. We want our faith is evident. We want to pass along, you know, even if our kids are grown, we want our faith to be passed along to neighbors, co-workers, aunts, uncles, sisters, and we can imitate God. And we all still have a chance because we're still breathing. We're still sitting in the chair. Kim had a word, I don't know, 6 months ago, and she talked about just turn around. Every 60 seconds, you can have a new start. And that stuck with me. Every 60 seconds, all throughout the day, I can make a new start. And I know a lot of you didn't have the upbringing that I did. You know, a lot of you had parents who were abusive or maybe absent or they drank too much. You know, and that presents another challenge, but Jesus can help you overcome that. He can still use your life to be a legacy, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even if you feel like you've made way too many mistakes, God can redeem those. I think about my dad. He died 27 years ago, yet the stuff he put in me is still bearing fruit, and I hope will continue to bear fruit from Richard Height. I hope it will. And we have no idea what our actions will do for our neighbor. We have no idea what our actions will do for a student that we have or us with a teacher. But if we put on those attributes of God, we can plant seeds that will carry on and on and on and listen to the Holy Spirit and exhibit a changed mom, a changed dad, a changed grandma, grandpa, uncle. We can still have an impact. So Tom likes to do GBH. I'll do GBH. That's okay. So my first GBH is break the cycle. You know, let it stop with you. And let it start with you. You know, let the legacy start with you. You can be an imitator of God, right? Regardless of your upbringing, you can be the catalyst for change. I love that word, catalyst. I looked it up and it meant something quick. And I thought, I can be the catalyst for change in my office. I remember when I worked for Boeing, I was in an office of six people, and I felt like I was the catalyst to no gossip because I wasn't going to carry it on. Somebody might come to me with gossip, but I got busy with my work and I didn't pass it on. You can be the catalyst for change in whatever sphere you're in. Let it start with you. The second thing we can do is pray. I mean, really get serious about it and maybe even fast. Ask God to show you, ask Holy Spirit to show you what's in your heart. And he'll tell you what's great, and he'll tell you, needs a little adjustment there. And then do that. We repent and do that. And don't just pray from a posture of defeat. Pray from an attitude and a posture of faith. Let's agree with what the Word says and make declarations over ourselves and over our kids. I brought along a book. It's called Declarations by Steve Backlund. And if you don't know how, because I didn't really understand how to make declarations, but I've got it dog-eared, and you guys can look at this. I'll leave it up here. And it's just how to speak the Word of God over your kids, over your family, over your finances, over your health. That's what I look at it for a lot, is my health. When I get health challenges, sometimes I get a little panicky. I'll be real honest with you. And I can kind of, like, oh, what's happening? I speak the Word of God over it. Because this is the truth, the Word of God, right? So you can look at that book. I pray Psalm 139 over my kids. Where can they go from your presence, God? I put their name in there. Where can they flee from your presence? I love that. You've got them right in your hand. We speak the Word of God. God created speaking, didn't he? All through Genesis 1. And God said, and God said, and God said. Let us do the same thing. Let's speak the truth. Romans 4:17 As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. This is the really good part. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. That's what happens when we speak the word of God over those situations, over those people, right? That's how our faith is evident and seen and how we can pass it down. And then the last GBH is humility always, always wins. Be humble. Be humble. Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe we need to be vulnerable with somebody. Maybe we need to let that grudge go. That's a hard one. I had my grandma and her sister that lived on Height Avenue up in Delwood, where my family was from. They didn't talk to each other for like 30 years. The one sister would go out of her house, cross the street, walk across the street, pass her sister's house, and then go back on that same side of the street so she wouldn't set foot on the property. What a waste, right? So maybe we need to get rid of some of the grudges. And we can, you know, when we're submissive to God and the Holy Spirit and in the Word, he can plant seeds in us that'll germinate in us and bear fruit. You know, I love that. He plants seeds in me, in my soil of my heart, that will bear fruit so I can be a Naomi and I can affect people. I can be a grandmother or a mother and plant seeds, maybe not into my kids who were at home now, but maybe my grandkids. You know, I love talking about Jesus with my grandson, Noah. You know, and I ask him, what is he saying to you? Ask him to give you good dreams. What is it? You know, you can always, always believe what God says to you. Just little things like that. And I hope and I pray that something is seen and something is being passed down. So we're going to have the prayer team come up. And I'm going to pray. And also, if you want to pray with me over something, if something I've said resonates inside of you and you would like to pray, I'd love to pray with you. But just let's be open, open to what Holy Spirit is speaking and saying, because today is a new day. You can walk out of here brand new, in a brand new frame of mind, and you can do it again even on a Monday morning. I don't know about anybody else who finds it hard to get up, especially on Monday mornings, but even on Monday morning, this works. Our faith needs to work. So, Father, I just say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus, who is our hope. And I just pray that we let you, Holy Spirit, walk around the garden of our heart, touching those things. And Lord, we commit ourselves to repenting because we want our faith to be passed down. I know it's an individual's choice, but Father, I want to make it easy for people to believe because of their relationship with me, with our kids, adult kids, grandkids, aunts, uncles, co-workers, and neighbors. We want to hear. We want big ears to hear what you say, Holy Spirit, and we just give you our lives, and we ask that you use us. Use us to create a legacy. Yes. Things passed down to be the Naomis. In your mighty name, and we love you. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.